Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink podcast. I'm Elvis, your host, and this is a not safe for work podcast. We are teachers who love our jobs, but we're at the end of the week and really the end of our ropes, and we'd like to keep our jobs and talk honestly about them, so we're going to use pseudonyms and remain anonymous, hence the Elvis. I'd like to start with a big thank you to our Patreon donors. I'd like to start with some of our newest ones: Miss Abby B, Ann T, Kristen G, Sarah B, Regina B, Anna L, Josie S, Sam B, India G, Lucy P, Mary E, Jamie B, Hope H, Aaron D, Christine W, Vanessa J, Kate C, Mary C, Haley M, Barry N, Rylan L, Catherine S, Perla C, Kelsey W, RJR, Kara T, Kristen C, Amanda T, Johanna H, Tony, Christina K, Irma A, Rebecca J, Melissa M, Lisa S, KCB, and Sarah N, my favorite. Now, my friends, I'd like to thank all of you for joining us here. Teacher Needs a Drink podcast comes out every Wednesday and is also brought to you by Lud Lam Dramatics. If you are a theater teacher or know one in your building, send them or go to LudLamDramatics.com. They are creators of the most amazing theater educational posters and resources, because really not enough people do stuff for theater. They have to do it themselves, so they can go to Lud Lam Dramatics and have someone else do it for them. Woohoo! All right, if you have a story you'd like to share with us, or a question you'd like to ask us, or you just want to say hi, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook, or you can go to the contact page of our website, TeacherNeedsADrinkPodcast.com. And while you're there, you can also get some great swag. Teacher Needs a Drink shot glasses, koozies, coasters, all kinds of great things there. And it helps us keep stuff on the air. And please, if you can, leave a review, follow us, subscribe, all that stuff they tell you to do. But really, honestly, the best thing you can do, just find one person in your building and tell them about Teacher Needs Drink Podcast. Tell them something you heard. All right, my friends, this is episode 68. Episode 69 comes out next week. Enjoy.
You're the oldest. You're the oldest in this room.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Old as you act. Mm-hmm. I see how you guys act.
I'm 85. Mm-hmm. I'm Betty White. I'm 99.
Well, there you go. All right, my friends, welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and with me today is Miss Lucy Elaine.
Hi.
Hey, welcome back. And also today, Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Howdy, Elvis.
And also the jam, Miss Shirley Temper.
You know what? I wish I was at an Arby's, because there's better food and cooler people there.
Oh, you just go to an Arby's then.
I wish. I love Arby's.
I like curly fries, and I make them in my air fryer because I'm fancy.
Oh, my God. You people in your air fryers.
Actually, I cut myself off because we made French fries like 3 times in one day. And I'm like, yeah, no, we have to stop. We have to air fry other things now.
It's throw a vegetable in there.
I don't think that is like a thing. Like French fries could be always. Don't limit yourself.
I don't know. The way you
think, Lucille. I like it.
Yeah. I had to have a salad. That was my thing. I was like, okay, I'm just eating a salad now.
Was it a salad made of French fries?
No, you put your fries on your salad. That's how we eat in Pittsburgh.
Well, I made like fajitas the night before, and so I turned the French fries into French fry nachos, or kind of asada fries, where I just like, after I made them, I dumped some cheese and some nacho meat on them and just kind of put them in the fridge the oven for a little bit. Oh, so good. So good. Again, all right, guys. Well, we're starting the second, or we just finished the second week of school, and it was better than the first, but man, my mojo is not there. I just can't. I did a better job than I did my first week back, but second week, I'm like, oh, here we go. And yeah, it wasn't quite all there. I'm curious, how are you guys doing with your second week? Are you able to keep it up? Are you ready just to crawl into a cave? Bunny, how's it going with you?
Going okay. We had semester exams this past week at my school. And that was interesting. It actually made for a pretty easy week, and most of them did pretty well on it, and the ones who didn't were the ones who have not come to class since August.
Fancy that.
I'm surprised and shocked.
What did you do to remedy this situation, Bunny? Did you do everything that you needed to do as an educator to ensure their excellence in your classroom?
Natural consequences is what I'm doing.
God, I'm so turned on.
No, it's like we reviewed, and it was open note, and we went over everything like for a full week for the exams. Like I would pick a couple of topics each day and we would review and make sure, you know, they had their notes, and I had extra, you know, like we did fill in the blank notes when we covered the topic the first time. And so I had extra of those. If anybody had lost theirs the first time, like, I did everything possible. If you showed up and typed some words in a blank and saved the file, you were going to make an A on this test. So if you did not make an A on this test, or you did not pass this test, I don't know what else to do for you.
What about you, Lucille? How are you doing?
Well, how you said, oh, the second week was better than the first. You can speak for yourself, because mine was just a nightmare, like sleep paralysis nightmare.
Oh, God.
Hmm. Yeah. I had meetings every single day after school that I'm not getting paid for extra. Like, it's not a stipend whatsoever. And then there's like, we're getting, you know, two more sped kids, and that's fine and everything. But they're like, oh, their FIEs are coming with them, and we're just going to have the meeting. No, like, time of warning or whatever to get ready. It's just like, okay, tomorrow. So, you know, you have to rush to do that. That's like a lengthy process, because those, you know, the information to read on each one is just so much. Between the pooling for common assessments, you know, I walk in one day, it's just like, oh, you can't see your kids because we need you for common assessments because so many people are out. And this and that, and meeting minutes. And it was just a nightmare. About that week's done.
And then you said you got a personal day this week, or you took a sick day?
Oh, yeah. I'm sick. I can't come in. I did that. Yes. I definitely pulled that, and I called, you know, like your live MD or, you know, your phone, your teledoctor, and I got a little note that says I can't come to school on Friday.
Because sweet.
I can't. Like, I was so done that I was just like, if I go in, I'm going postal.
Yeah.
So let me save my sanity and everybody else's if I just do this. Tell this little lie, because that little lie never hurt anybody. We're all good.
Shirley, how about you? What's going on?
I had a really good week. I had two snow days.
Ooh,
oh, my God. Yeah. I forgot that it snowed. This has been like every day is a whole month. It kind of feels like. And so I forgot that we had like a snowstorm come through the south.
And especially where I am, which I never get snow. It's been 3 years. And even then it was like maybe an inch of snow. We had 6 to 7 inches of snow where I am.
Really?
And it was just beautiful and clear. And usually when it snows here, it's gone the next day. It was 2.5 to 3 days of snow. And it was so great. Mr. Temper built me a front porch, and he finished it literally the day before. So we were able to sit on our porch with our chimenea, and my two crotch goblins were frolicking in the snow. And it was, you know, bizarre, because I'm in Texas, and I'm in a part of Texas that never gets snow. And it was beautiful, and we went to sleep, and then in the middle of the night, the power went out.
So, oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't have power for 2.5 days, but the next day when we woke up, when the roads kind of cleared, we just packed it up and went to my parents. They live here, and they have a built-in generator, so we just ended up, you know, staying with my parents for an extra day.
All right, we have one here from Reddit user ForestFire556677. How do I tell a student they email me too much? I have created and posted charts for my students to follow when they have a question. E.g., can I ask a classmate? Can I Google this? Can my question wait for next class, or is it urgent? I still receive very frequent emails from this student with questions that are definitely not urgent. I feel rude answering the email with anything other than the answer to his question, since my thoughts would be, if my teacher had the time to answer the email by telling me to ask a classmate, they could have had time to just answer my question. But I also do not want to encourage the emails by responding to them. Ideally, I'd love to say, you email me too much and these questions can easily be resolved on your own, or at the minimum, you could wait for next class, but I can't actually do that, LOL. Solutions? Suggestions? How can I respond with the same point, but framed in a constructive way that encourages independence?
Well, other than pointing the child to the chart, or maybe like referencing your chart the next class time, hey guys, remember this chart on how to solve your own problems? I would set the auto response in my emails. If this is not a problem or an emergency, please email me again, or I will get to this when I can, or whatever. Because you can set good. Those so that, like, when it's not school hours, you automatically get a response that says, I am away from my office right now. I will be back at 8 tomorrow or 9 tomorrow, and we'll respond accordingly. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
As I was listening to Bunny read this, I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is something really hard for me personally, because I'm the type of person, just because of my personality, that it sounds really like bitchy and crazy coming from me, but like I mean no harm by it, by saying you need to stop emailing me. Like, you just, we need to shut this down. And like, being blunt is the only way. And I really don't have a really smooth way of telling somebody that they are just too annoying. Like, I don't, I wish I could, but this is not my expertise. Like, this would be a problem for myself as well.
That kind of thing killed me when I was dating and doing the dating apps, because you have a lot of messages going back and forth, and there comes a point where you're not interested. And the best thing to do is just be very honest. Say, hey, I don't really feel a spark. I'm moving on. Or, hey, someone else caught my interest. But I also feel like a dick or guilty doing that. And so sometimes conversations just went on way too long where they were just pointless. Like, I have no intention of ever actually meeting this person or wanting to solve their problems. So I think I want out.
What if I just thought about this? What if there is a checklist set up? Like, just go through a checklist. Like, before emailing your instructor, did you first A, read the directions? Two, did you check in your syllabus?
That needs to be on the auto response. Like, hey, I'm glad you're reaching out to me. And since I can't respond for a while, try these options. Reread the question. Look at the fucking book. Ask a friend.
As long as it says look at the fucking book in your auto reply.
Google. Yes. Try Google.
I know it feels snarky to say go look at the chart, but you're training them. This is training them to be self-sufficient. Like, if this student is not looking at the stuff and is asking stuff that could have been handled another way, like, yes, it feels a little bit snarky, but you're teaching them that self-sufficiency skill by saying, go check here first, or that's answered in the syllabus. I've done that to kids, and yes, it feels a little bitchy, but it does eventually cut down on the number of those things that you get.
And sometimes you have those kids who have no social awareness, who don't really pick up on the cues, because either they're not mature, or sometimes they might just be on the spectrum. Sometimes they just don't get it. And it's hard through text or like through not face-to-face communications to read between the lines that, hey, this isn't the best place to do this. But kids are idiots sometimes. A lot of them are, especially middle schoolers, especially. But high schoolers aren't much better, because, you know, once they think about boobs or sex, it's just gone.
You're the same. Don't act like you're not.
But I have found a way to somewhat function through it.
I am curious if they didn't say if it's middle school or high school or something. I think my level of snark goes up with age. So if we're dealing with a high schooler, I think the best thing is Elvis's idea, including the reference to the chart in the outgoing email. But I would very politely say, look, you email me about everything. I need you to, you know, stop. I need you to do this. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I would definitely save your correspondence with this child. Like, I would make a special little folder, and I would just ping all these just in case there's an issue with parents. You can say, okay, here are 20 emails from your child in the last week. All right, my bebes. This is from the Teacher Needs a Drink contact page from Miss Liar Liar, no relation to Mr. Pants on Fire, Narhar. Hello. I had a shower thought yesterday that morphed into a commuting meditation, and I thought I would share. I never realized how easy it would be to lie on a daily basis until I became a teacher. I have always been that person you do not want to ask the major life questions like, why am I single? Or, does this make me look fat? Because I see no need to sugarcoat things if we are true friends. I would always double check you wanted an answer, but all bets are off if you said yes. I realize how much I lie on a daily basis, and I just laughed because I love every minute of it. Someone once described teaching middle school as recreating the "Are you not entertained?" scene from Gladiator while painstakingly trying to not say the word balls and hard, only to realize you have to go back and repeat the directions 3 more times because the students forgot everything you did and did 5 seconds ago. I accepted this and have had a blast doing it, but now I'm the queen of lies, too. I see work that is not very good, but act like it's the best thing I've ever read because that student is only at school to eat, possibly their only meal of the day, and they only turned in work because they don't want to disappoint me. I see eyes glazing over when we are on a concept that isn't interesting, so we get off topic by telling a totally bogus story about my husband that has them laughing but actually connects to the lesson. I'm glad I work one city over because given the number of stories I tell about my husband doing something idiotic, they would probably wonder he was allowed to have a license. My favorite lie is the 3,100 milliliter beaker. Whenever a kid would just be too much for us, we'll send him to one of the science teachers to get that beaker.
3,100?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time here. We'll send them to get to the science teachers to get a 3,100 milliliter beaker. I am one of the science teachers, and that poor kid will search my room up and down trying to find this non-existent beaker. If they give up too soon, I will have them search my cabinets for the imaginary 2,700 milliliter beaker that will be just as good. Finally, I hand them a beaker and say that Mr. Smith will just have to try and make do with this one. For students in my class, I send them to the book room to find that book on pterodactyls that I misplaced but I really need for the geology lesson. Silly me would always forget to tell them how to spell it, so they would always need to go back and look again just in case they forgot to check out the P section. So, there you have it. I'm a liar. Capital L, small I, small A, small R, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
I hear you, Miss Liar Liar. I am there with you. I've made up stories about my dog. I've made up stories about my car, family, ex-wives, girlfriends. I've invented uncles and aunts that I don't have. And as far as distracting kids, I've done the exact same thing, except since I was working with elementary kids who were working on my floor, like sitting on the floor, I super glued quarters and pennies and dimes randomly around the room to the linoleum. So that the kids who like normally cause shit, I'd make sure they were sitting there and they would happily be distracted trying to pull a like super glued quarter off the tile. And so, you know, for 80 cents, I got like a lot of quiet. So it was pretty cool. It's a lifesaver. I support lying to the students.
I think that, yeah, most of us do lie on a regular basis to our kids. My thing when I just need a break from a child or if a child needs to go, you know, needs a break from me for a minute or whatever, I'll send them to my teacher bestie's room to get a purple folder. And she knows that's code if they ask for a purple folder, that she understands that that's code and this child and I need to not be in the same room as each other for a minute. And she will go through all of her cabinets and pull out everything purple that she can find.
That's really smart, actually.
It's teamwork. And so we like, there's that. There's the little thing of, you know, you're having a bad day and the kids went, Miss, are you okay? Yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. And you're definitely not. I mean, like, we all tell that lie.
Yeah.
Just a way of life, I feel like, at this point. I don't lie to them about the big stuff.
What about you, Lucille? How much do you identify with Ms. Liar Liar?
I think that I just need, after hearing all of this, like, I think I need to lie more. And I think that, like... I think that I love the idea of making up things just to keep them busy. I think I need to do that more. I'm very serious. I mean, even make up a name for a doodad or whatever and be like, you need to find this. And then just like send that student to a teacher and go ahead and be like, you know, tell Ms. So-and-so that I need this made up name. And it's going to sound so ridiculous that it's going to confuse her so much. I think a lot of that needs to be done just for entertainment, like no other reason, just for my entertainment, because during the day, I think I might need that in my life. So I might have to get more creative this week.
I think the key is to have a clear line of communication to whatever poor teacher you're sending them. Make sure it's a prearranged deal.
Well, what if it's not? Like, how confused would they be? And how?
Like, Miss Lucille Lane said, "I need to find the triple eraser." what?
Yeah. And when I'm sending them to say, you know, Miss Smith, who, you know, really gets on my nerves anyway, you know, that's a whole nother thing.
So it's interesting because I'm half and half. I will embellish a little bit to tell an interesting story or prove a point. But, you know, I teach high school. And so if a kid says something to me like, hey, you like me, right? And I don't, I'll look at them and be like, what do you think? I mean, I'm not gonna, I'm pretty straightforward about this. And usually, you know, if they're like, what, you don't? I'm like, you're the one that asked. If you have to ask, it sounds like you have an instinct for the answer. And typically they'll laugh or they'll be like, yeah, I know, you know, or something, something like that. But I can typically tell based on the child. If they're a cocky little prick, I'm not afraid to be like, no, I don't. And you know why? Because I feel like they need that. They need that check. But if it's obviously a kid who needs that reinforcement, I'll be like, yeah, you're cool. We're okay. I like you. But yeah, I absolutely embellish. I feel like you kind of have to in this gig sometimes.
From the Teacher Needs a Drink contact page, we have Mr. Ricky. Hey there, Teacher Needs a Drink crew. I have no silly anecdotes or need advice. I just wanted to say thank you. This year has been absolutely bananas, and your podcast has been therapy when everything else has been chaos. Every Wednesday, I let myself haul ass out of the parking lot during my 35-minute lunch, grab something terrible for me at a drive-thru down the street, and sit and eat alone in my car for a bliss few minutes while listening to your podcast. It's something I started to look forward to every week when the rest of the world is crazy.
Aww.
I know, right? You guys are the freaking best. And Shirley Temper is my jam.
Shut up.
Aww.
Shut the front door.
And that, of course, was from Mr. Ricky.
Mr. Ricky. Oh, my God. Thank you.
I'm glad. It's therapy for us, too, man.
It really is.
We're best friends now, Mr. Ricky.
Hey, guys, guess what?
Yes.
We have a Patreon.
You lie. You absolutely lie.
It is true. For as little as $5 a month, you can join our Patreon and get access to all kinds of lost episodes, bonus episodes, new content every single month. And there's all kinds of stuff. There's a huge backlog in there. And sometimes you get to play Among Us and get killed by the host or kill us if that's what you want to do. Lots of room for small talk. It's awesome. And you also get a quick line directly to me, Elvis, because I respond to all those messages. All of them. And I like to, because it's fun. And thank you so much for our Patreons who are out there. And also, if you need some great Teacher Needs a Drink podcast, bottle openers or koozies or something for Valentine's Day to give your sweetheart, go to the Teacher Needs a Drink website. We have all that crap for sale. So do it. Do it now. Yay!
Get it.
You meet this person during the final days of their life. The friendship is instant, intimate, and profound. It's uncanny how much they seem like an older version of yourself. As they reminisce about the existence they've led, it's as if they're telling you the story of your own life, except experienced during a different era in a different place. The jobs they've held, the people they've loved, the problems they faced, almost every anecdote feels like a version of your own. After 3 days of conversation, they ask you to draw closer. They need to tell you something important. As I'm sure you've already realized, they begin, you are making at least one massive mistake in your life that you will always regret, but it's not too late for you. The person then closes their eyes, exhales deeply, and dies. What do you assume they were going to tell you? Miss Bunny!
God.
Oh my God.
I don't even know. Like, I would probably try to use my context clues based on stuff that they had talked about and what a regret was from their life. Like maybe they're projecting onto me or something since we have so much in common, or try to, you know, glean if there was something that they really regretted that they assumed that I would regret also. Like, I don't know. That's weird. I would have to talk that out with my therapist. I don't know.
I would have to think hard to make sure they weren't like, if they were actually lucid. Cause I mean, people can kind of get a little loopy or just want to play their own version of a silly joke. And it could have been just like, hey, be sure to drink your Ovaltine. And you're like, oh, thanks. That's what it was buried. Shirley, got any thoughts?
Yeah, that shit ain't real. I ain't buying it. Shit.
You're not changing a damn thing.
Hell no. Have you met me? No.
What about you, Lucille?
I'm finding ways, because, like, you'll never know the real, you'll never know exactly what that person was actually referring to. So what I would do is bend that so it fits my wants and needs. Like it's my job, isn't it? I'm definitely going to go, you know, aspire to be an actress, or I'm going to like I would just make it fit for myself.
That's what your brain does. I mean, have you ever had a tarot reading? I got a deck of those cards and I would just read the generic thing out of the book and everyone would be like, yes, that is my life. Everything you're saying is true. I'm like, this is kind of vague and you're just attaching
it. It all is. I do tarot readings and like they're so vague they can fit every situation.
But it also can be a tool for you just to analyze yourself and to give yourself your own kind of psychotherapy and try to get your own insight. Because I think maybe if I don't believe them, and I certainly don't believe they're an older version of me or some interesting reincarnation, I'd be willing just to sit and go, okay, you know what? I could stand to do this or this, or, you know, I could think of a few things or directions I might change. But not you, Shirley.
Hell no.
You set in your ways.
I mean, if I'm going to change something, I'm not going to do it because some creepy weirdo's like, you're making a mistake. I fuck up plenty, and I fully acknowledge when I fuck up, and I try not to do that again. And I think that's all you can do in life.
All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to thank my guests for being here today. Miss Lucille Lane, it was wonderful having you.
It's always wonderful to be here. Thank you.
And Miss Bunny O'Hare, you are a delight.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure as always.
And to the jam, Miss Shirley Temper, thanks for being here.
It feels like I'm shitting a knife.
Ouch. All right, my friends, please, please take care of yourselves. Have confidence. Things are going to get better in time. Make sure you put the oxygen mask on yourself before tending to those around you. All right, my friends, deep breaths, deep strokes. Cheers. Yay! Yes. Yes. Sláinte. Did you say cilantro? Cilantro. All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is brought to you by Lud Lamb Dramatics and, of course, our fine contributors at Patreon. Hey, if you want to join our Patreon, you get all kinds of bonus stuff. It's pretty awesome, just saying. I'd like to thank my hosts today, Ms. Lucille Lane, Ms. Bunny O'Hare, and Ms. Shirley Temper for all they do. And guys, if you can, please help spread the word about Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Find just one person in your building and tell them something you heard. Just tell them. Spread the word. One person at a time. It's easy it goes. Or, you know, go to our website, buy our crap, and join our Patreon. Anyway, cheers! Burn the witch.
Burn them with fire.
Burn the children, Elvis. We've talked about this.
Fire cleanses.
We drown them. No, we drown them. Less work.